We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, America. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Got a great show in store today. Jimmy Emmons, Assistant Chief for the NRCS in Washington, is going to be in here in a little bit. And you guys pay attention today. I got a pair of tickets to the Wild Plum Jam with the boys from Western Oklahoma I'm going to give away today. And that's Cody Canada and the Departed and Stoney LaRue and the world famous Tyler Wilhelm. That's coming up next month, July 19th, Saturday in Sayre, America. There to park. It's there. It'll be a fun time. So pay attention. I'm going to have a question for you. It's really simple, but you got to be paying attention. All right, first things first. Let's check out some temperatures in Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. 88 degrees at Hollis. Hot spot in the state right now. There's three of them. They're three-way tie. Mangum, Altus, and Grandfield. All 90 degrees. 82 degrees at Woodward. 77 at Buffalo. 77 at the May Ranch. And 84 at Lahoma. And way out there in the Panhandle of Texas. Of Oklahoma. My bad. 77 at Boise City. Here in the Texas Panhandle, temperatures 85 at Lipscomb, 83 at McLean, 86 at Wellington, 90 at Esteline, and 87 at Odell. Okay, let's see what happened overnight in our big old world of agriculture. Wheat futures were higher in overnight trading amidst declining winter crop conditions. About 52% of the U.S. winter wheat was in good or excellent condition at the start of the week, down from 54% 7 days earlier, the USDA said in its weekly report. Analysts polled by Rutgers has expected the agency to leave winter wheat ratings unchanged, but they didn't. 10% of the crop has been harvested as of Sunday, up from 4% the previous week, but behind the prior, come on in and sit down, sir. Still, overnight gains were capped as spring wheat vastly improved. Some 57% of the crop was in good or excellent shape as of Sunday. Some 57% of the crop was good also. It was down from 53% the week before, so it's improved. USDA raised its rating for U.S. corn by a percentage point to 72%, good or excellent. Analysts were expected ratings to remain unchanged. About 66% of soybeans earned top ratings, and analysts expected 68%. So they wasn't too far off. But the market has reacted today to all this good stuff. But overnight, wheat futures for September delivery came up 2.25 cents to 554.5 a bushel. On the Chicago Board of Trade, Kansas City futures were up 1.5 cents to 552.25. Corn for December delivery gained 1.5 cents to 436.5 a bushel. Soybean futures for July fell 1.25 cents to 1059.25, and soybeans was up 20 cents to 296.50 a short ton. Thunderstorms. I guess if you guys paying attention to the weather this morning, they got pretty rough in Kansas overnight. And according to all of our meteorologists and climate people, be weather alert in all of Oklahoma tonight, especially in the northern part. So everybody pay attention. I got a story for you. Some old buddy Donnie from Roger Mills County called yesterday, and he's seen a wheat harvest crew going south out of Cheyenne, and he called to want to know if he won anything because he reported a wheat harvest crew. He's only about 3 weeks behind. I gave them prizes out about 3 weeks behind. It's something to do from, he was in Vietnam and Desert Storm. I think he's got some, early signs of dementia, or he just wasn't paying attention to my show is what I think. But anyway, he lost. So if you see Donnie Walker today, make sure to remind him the wheat harvest crews are headed north now, not south. So anyway, well, the Honorable Jimmy Emmons is in my studio, so we're going to take an early break today, and our breaks are sponsored by Stockman's Vet Clinic here in Elk City, and we'll be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
The last thing you want after completing a well is to leave money on the table. However, many drilling companies do just that within the first 30 days of production. It's critical to hire well-trained operators with good quality equipment to give you the right kind of data you need to maximize production from day one. Prime Well Solutions specializes in flowback, sand separation, and well testing specific to the unique needs of your well. In Oklahoma, West Texas, and New Mexico, Prime Well Solutions has you covered. Find them online at primewellsolutions.com.
Get ready, Western Oklahoma. The Wild Plum Jam is back and louder than ever. Coming to Sayre on Saturday, July 19th, it's a Red Dirt Revival you won't want to miss. Live on stage, Cody Canada and the Departed. Stoney LaRue. Oklahoma Breakdown. You sure do got you crying. And Western Oklahoma's own Tyler Wilhelm. Yes, I'm proud of who I am. All jamming on Route 66 in Sayre. One night, one stage, and a whole lot of Red Dirt music magic under the Oklahoma sky. Hey, hey, you're not a never-tweener. Lock in your spot now. Tickets will go fast. Get yours today at KECOFM.com. That's KECOFM.com. The 2025 Wild Plum Jam in Sayre, Oklahoma, powered by KECO. Be there.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins.
Join the millions of people who are celebrating going hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins. Footwear you just step into and they're on.
It's crazy how something as simple as a pair of shoes have made my life better.
After trying Skechers Slip-ins, I want all my shoes to have this technology. See what everybody can't stop talking about. Go hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
When you're out working in the shop and the garage this summer, stay comfortable with a Portacool Apex Cooler. Napa Auto and Truck Parts in Elk City, Weatherford, and Hinton has compact spot coolers for the garage. They've also got high-powered units that cool up to 6,500 square feet. Each unit blasts cool air up to 60 feet and connects to your phone with the CoolSync app for remote control. They're quiet, efficient, and tough with a lifetime warranty on molded housings. Swing by your local Napa and get your Portacool Apex Cooler and stay comfortable while you work this summer.
Hay wrap is what people use in their balers, the farmers, when they want to, you know, baling up hay. It wraps it up. It's better than twine. So it's like one consistency, holds everything together, lasts longer, easier to cut off. Well, we started selling it because we got asked for it, because there's nowhere around here to really buy it, the good kind of net wrap that we have. So we found a vendor that's good price, and now we carry it. We've got it. Camrock is right south of Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City, Oklahoma.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Lipscomb, Texas. 85 degrees, heat index is 89, humidity 61, dew point 70, and the winds are out of the southeast at 21 miles an hour, with wind gusts up to 34. 2.34 inches of rain so far this month. And 76 is the 8-inch soil temperature. Well, I'm truly, truly blessed to have Mr. Jimmy Emmons. I've had him in here on the show to, about three or four times since we started, and I'm a big fan of his. But now he's got a title. He is the assistant chief for the NRCS out of Washington at the headquarters. And I don't think he liked it when I said honorable, so I won't say that no more. But welcome. Welcome, Mr. Emmons. Yeah. Welcome home. You've been, what, home? You said a couple of weeks now?
Yeah, I've been home a couple of weeks now.
going back next week. So the big military parade, the Army come in and needed a spot to house for 3 weeks, getting prepared and dismantling down. So they closed the South building for that period and sent us home. Right.
Well, that was an awesome parade. It was me used to be in the U.S. Army and stuff, so it meant a lot to me and a lot of other veterans. So it was good. And so you swore. Let's see. Frank Lucas was there when you got sworn in, wasn't he? If I remember right.
Yes, yeah, he held my Bible.
Yeah, that's right. Now I just wanted to do it. So, have you got your first paycheck?
I did get my first paycheck.
The NRCS, soil conservation. I haven't known you all that long. I know who you were, and I got to know you better since I started the show, which I'm very blessed to got to know you better. Soil conservation is a big thing to you.
It is. It is. Because if we don't preserve our natural resources like our soil and water, I mean, how are we going to operate? It's
right.
It's a huge issue, especially from here west, is water and soil. You know, we weren't as blessed with deep topsoil like in Iowa and Indiana and other areas. And then we had a lot of erosion through the 20s and 30s. And so it's very... very important that we take care of that. So I've always been driven for that. So this is a perfect fit for me, being the assistant chief. I serve under the president's pleasure, but also the chief of NRCS, Aubrey Bentoncourt, is a super dynamic lady that I'm really proud to serve under. She really cares about making the agency better. And so we can talk a little bit about that as we go.
Well, yeah, and, speaking of her, I read the bio on her earlier, so it'd be fresh on my mind. I mean, I know who she is and all that stuff, but there was a, oh, really? She, reading from where she was in the family, she's third or fourth generation at their place in California. She knows about water.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of water, it's more and more in the news, especially since I started the show 4 years ago. A water deal here, there, and there. These things are coming up. So, like in California, the municipalities are buying farmland up from the farmers there in California so they can get the water rights.
That's right.
And then we had issues in Idaho with the different irrigation districts last year. We got some stuff going on here, and then we got some Kansas. They end up having to pass laws to enforce them to conserve water out of the water district up there. And then from Colorado all the way through New Mexico, Arizona, into California, they've restricted some water use because the Colorado River and stuff like that was doing. I heard a long time ago, water's going to be worth more than gold. And I think it's getting there. At what point do we have to say something about, people are important. They got to have water.
Yeah.
But you take places like Las Vegas and you take some other towns, along in those areas that are just building because of, their main thing in Las Vegas is gambling. And that's the way it's always
entertainment.
Been. Entertainment. And, in places where they're building more, even around here, you know, in Oklahoma City and Tulsa, we're taking a little bit of, I think I heard we're losing, and like in Texas, they're losing 1,000 acres a day to development. At what point do we go, hey, you know, we need to go back into these older cities and tear down and rebuild because we already got the infrastructure there? Because California example, I don't know, I cannot remember the percentage of food, vegetables, almonds, fruits and stuff that they grow for the United States. But it's very important that California maintains what they got.
It is. And You know, it's all about locally led conservation, but it's also our farmers and ranchers telling our story and how important the land is that we do grow food and fiber and fuel nowadays for the growing population, and how we repurpose inner cities that's grown out, and how do we start promoting, you know, less land development around them urban cities, and better water use. And it's on our side as well as their side.
Yes.
That we be good stewards of the land and the resources. And, you know, we've had a great opportunity for 90 years at NRCS to promote locally led conservation and how important that is for you and I be able to initiate that on our land to take care of the resources. We see where we don't do that, then eventually someone will want to regulate us.
Right.
And so it's very important that we take advantage of programs like NRCS has to help us better utilize water, better understand soil, and how if we get a 5-inch rain tonight, like we had 3.7 in Leedy the other morning, when them big events come, how do we take as much of that in? We still love some runoff for ponds and creeks and natural flow, but how do we keep that on the land to utilize for later, because we will have a dry spell later.
Oh, yeah, you know it's coming.
But it is important, and there's a lot of tools that we can use, and easements and different things to protect agriculture land for the future, especially around them urban areas. But I mean, it's really a good tool across that NRCS is a part of, and land easements that will protect that for agriculture use. But once again, it's local and it's voluntary. And that's one of the things that the chief is very strong about, being the assistant chief, that I consult with her and try to promote the mission of NRCS. You know, farmers are first.
Right.
That's what we believe in. And we're also working towards one farmer, one file. That means when you go into your local USDA office and you're sitting at NRCS's desk, if they need something from FSA here in the very near future, they will be able to see it on their computer. So you'll just have one file. So it's supposed to help streamline, make better efficiencies for us, for our employees, but also for our farmers, to make everything easier. And we're trying to streamline programs right now, less paperwork, less cumbersome work for the offices, so they can get out and help Jimmy on his land, write a conservation plan for the future.
Well, I remember when you was part of the first Trump's administration, his first administration, that was your big deal. You wanted to get rid of the red tape.
Yep.
Make it a lot easier. And there's some truth to it. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's FSA, NRCS, the U.S. Army, the Marines, or whatever. There's always a little bit of red tape involved because there's too many chiefs and not enough braves, I guess, yep, as you can say. And I hope you do. I knew when you got in there that was going to be one of your deals because the Dodge, there's been some cutbacks, and we've lost some employees all throughout the government, not just the FSA and the NRCS. With you talking about streamlining the programs and the paperwork, that should help a lot with them, shouldn't it?
It's got to, because we have a reduction in force.
Right.
And if we want them, local technicians and district conservationists, to get out to your farm, we can't burden them down with an overabundance of redundant paperwork.
Right.
And so the chief is very dedicated in how do we streamline these programs, how do we make it easier for the offices and the producers to fill out, to still have the same benefits. And so that's what we're working on very, very frantically now, trying to get this out for the future. So in the next few months, you'll start seeing a lot of change come along.
Good. Yeah. And that's good because, you know, I pay attention to what's going on with the NRCS and FSA and stuff. And I know we lost some people on the local levels in the counties surrounding us here. But what I didn't realize was that some of those administration people that were let go were actually contract. And so their deal was to help the people in the offices with their, with paperwork and administration. So with that streamlining going on, that's got to be exciting for the field people to hear about that.
Yeah. And we've had a team working on like CSP contract here for a couple of months in the streamline process, and got the first drafts of that in. And so that work's going on as we speak. Hopefully we'll see that, like I said, in here in the next few months.
Awesome.
In place.
So right.
It's great to be a part of the team.
Well, I know. Okay. Trick question for you. I'm not throwing you under the bus.
You always have a trick question.
I always got a trick question. What's the difference in the NRCS today than when you first become involved in the NRCS? Because I know you're about the same age as me, so it goes back a long way. What's the difference?
You know, today, the agency is trying to modernize and move forward with innovation and technology. And I think that we were doing that when I first started farming. I mean, we've always been evolving. We're 90 years old now. Our employee workforce has changed more here in the last several years. It's just the population shift from the farm to the urban areas continues to grow. And so there's less of us here and more of them there. So as people are removed from the land and understanding, like you were talking about a minute ago, how do we explain to people how important land and water is here? That has happened in our workforce as well. So a lot of our new employees have never been out on a farm, never worked in that arena. So there's a lot more training that we have to do. And how do they get out at the tailgate or the kitchen table and sit down with you at your farm and talk about conservation planning?
Right.
And so part of the chief's initiative is how do we go out and recruit in rural Oklahoma and rural America to our sons and daughters that would like to stay at the farm, but we've encouraged them to move to the city and get a better job and have a better life, when they can have that and have a good job, good benefits, but they would really relate well with our producers. So how do we do that in the future, I think, is critical.
Yeah, because especially nowadays with the cost of land and your inputs high and stuff, most farmers and ranchers nowadays, they basically have to have a second job.
Yeah.
And kind of always have. But it's more important nowadays. So if we get them back and get that kid off the block, or not off the block, but off the farm to come work at the NRCS, maybe you guys should give them a signing bonus, a tractor or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there is, and workforce has always been a lot of rural people.
Right.
Here in Oklahoma and in the middle part of the country. And there's been less of that over the last several years. But I think we're missing an opportunity to keep rural America vital and alive by utilizing some of that workforce.
Yeah, because when your people in your offices and like on the NRCS side, when you walk in there and they know what you're doing, that's what I love about mine over at Sayre, because those people know what we're doing, and it's not that you got to explain any, but I went to a meeting. I think were you down there at Duncan last year at that meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember you seeing you down there. And that was one of the things when I was on that board up there talking about how I'm switching over to the regenerative farming and all that, that there was some people can over explain it
mm-hmm.
to the, just the everyday farmer and rancher, get above. I mean, we're not stupid. That's not what I'm saying. But you get above their head with the words and the technology and stuff, and it takes time for us to learn and for it to teach us what we need to know. But I just think if you keep it on a common sense level, hey, Jimmy, here's your cover crop. Send me in what you're going to use for your cover crop. Let me okay it and send it back. But don't get me, throw those big words at me. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that's part of your streamlining, isn't it?
It is. It is. And it's meeting where farmers where they're at.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of new generations coming on that are really high tech in farming and ranching and utilize a lot of technology, but not all of us are that way.
Right.
And so how do we meet farmers where they're at the tailgate? One of the discussions that we had in the chief circle the other day was, you know, as we move into more digital and programs, how do we make our programs beneficial to a farmer down the road? So keeping track of your data, what practices, what conservation work you've been doing on your farm, how can we build that where if a water market or carbon market or ecosystems market, hunting, whatever comes along, how can you show that individual that's willing to put value in your farm what you've been doing on your farm? And so that's what we're really wanting to build, is not only in our conservation plan, but understanding how important data is, how important, how long you've been doing cover crops on Jimmy Clark's farm,
right,
and conservation practices that you utilized.
Right. Jimbo, we got to take a break here. We're going to take a Stockman's Vet break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Jimmy. I got a deal here that I got to read to him during break, see if he wants to touch it on the air. So we'll be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage, you don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way, because a couple years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County. Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hey farmers, it's Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's time to plant summer cover crops. We carry the best quality cover crop seeds available. If you need ag chemicals, we can ship bigger orders straight from the warehouse to your farm with unbeatable prices. And as always, we're an authorized livestock nutrition center dealer. Call us, visit us on South Randall in Elk City, and follow us on Facebook. SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity.
You've seen the yellow tags, you've heard the commercials, you've heard the hustle and bustle. What are you waiting for, guys? Windy Nissan is your dealer. We have all the new Nissans, all the used cars, trucks, and SUVs that you can dream of. With over 150 on the ground, we truly have a little bit of something for everybody. Payments as low as $249 with $0 down. Up to 90 days, no payments. There's never been a better time than now to come see us at Windy Nissan of Elk City, your hometown dealer.
At Helios Injection Systems, we don't just sell pumps. We build them from the ground up right here in Cordell, Oklahoma. With a full-service fab shop and automated CNC lathes, we manufacture high-quality chemical injection systems trusted by the oil and gas industry. Our packages are available when you need them. With multiple locations, nationwide distributors, and a team committed to service, we're built to keep your operations moving. Call 580-832-5475 or visit heliospumps.com. Helios, work simply.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Need precision parts done right and fast? At K4T in Elk City, we specialize in CNC machining, welding, and fabrication for the oil field as well as ag industries. We're a full-service job shop built on grit, speed, and craftsmanship. Whether it's a one-off prototype or full production, we get it done right every time. Family-owned and third-generation strong, Jason and Jamie Koss treat your job like it's their own. Stop by K4T on Merritt Road in Elk City or find us on Facebook. K4T, built on family, driven by craftsmanship.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. I've got Mr. Jimmy Emmons, Assistant Chief to the NRCS in Washington, in here with me today. First, I'm going to do some northwestern Oklahoma weather. Leedy doesn't have a mesonet, so I go to the closest one. I think it's a toss-up between Putnam and Camargo, so I go with Camargo today. 87 degrees, feels like 93, dew point 71, humidity 60%. The winds are out of the southeast at 22 with wind gusts up to 29. 1.2 inches of rain, which I think you've gotten more than that in the last 10 days, but this is Camargo. In the last 10 days, three-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 79 degrees. Sunset at 8:56. Breezy at 95 today. Chance of thunderstorms tonight, 40%, 66 for low. Tomorrow, it kind of cools down at 87. So it's going to be a nice day. Jim, thanks, sir. Mr. Emmons, thank you so much for joining me in the studio today. And when I sent you that message the day you got sworn in, I keep not remembering you're an hour behind up there, so I hope I didn't get you out of bed with my crazy text. I was happy you got it.
Yeah, what an exciting day, and very honored and privileged to be able to serve the administration and help them move forward.
Right.
It's a different administration this go around than last time.
Yeah.
It's full speed ahead, and try to get a lot accomplished in a short period of time.
Right.
So it's very exciting. It's a little different living in D.C. than living in Leedy. So
how come?
It's it's a few more people in transportation and whatnot. But what an exciting time to be a part of a great move.
So do you have the Secret Service with you?
I do not.
Okay, they're not after you.
No, I'm not quite that important.
Well, speaking of what you just said, let's see if anybody was listening. So you guys, when I started the show, I said I had a pair of tickets to the Wild Plum Jam at Sayre America July 19th on a Saturday that I wanted to give away. And the boys from Western Oklahoma, Cody Canada and the Departed, and Stoney LaRue, and one of my favorite guys of all time, Tyler Wilhelm, are going to be there, and it's going to be a fun part. So here's the question, and I'm going to take number 7 on the text line, 580-225-9697. Send me a message with your name. If you don't send a name, then you're just playing. You're not going to win the tickets. And your answer, see if anybody's been paying attention. What is Jimmy Emmons's hometown? Pretty simple, huh?
Might be.
We'll see if anybody was paying attention. The home of Jimmy Emmons. What's the name of that town in Oklahoma? 580-225-9697. One of my favorite programs in the NRCS was way back in the day, and it was the Soil Bank. Mm-hmm. And I'm not griping. This is my opinion. The Soil Bank had all kinds of stuff, legumes and all kinds of stuff in with the, and I know it's a different time now with the CRP, was good for everything. It was good for the soil. Yeah. It was good for the wildlife and all other things. The CRP today, I mentioned it a few times at some local events that the CRP grass mixture that we have, and I know it's a kind of a nationwide mix, especially because most of our CRPs right here in the farm belt to take some farmland out of agriculture use, but it's just grass. And to me, it's a good hiding area for deer and their babies and pheasant to hide out in there. Who does a guy talk to? And I'm not talking about you. Who does a guy talk to change the mix on the CRP grass to where it's beneficial to a lot more things?
You know, they've made a change in the last few years to get more forbs and different species in that mix rather than just a single grass mix or a couple of grass mixes.
Okay, good.
And you can request a more native mix in some of that.
On your when you put something in CRP?
When you put something in. And, you know, there's a lot of people have overseeded in that. Different forbs and different things that you could make that a better habitat. But you just need to talk to your local office.
Okay.
Of course, that CRP is an FSA and NRCS type program. The NRCS normally helps put the mix together through the FSA programs where it's administered. So it's kind of a combination of both.
But, okay.
Go to your local USDA service center and request some of that. There's some options for you.
Well, I brought that up yesterday. I was planting my cover crop into what I'd hayed off my Truticale, and it'd been raining ever since we hayed it. So I finally got in the field and we got some moisture actually. And I seen a daddy quail, daddy bobwhite, and 18 babies come out from underneath my tractor, and it scared me. I stopped because I'll wreck my truck to miss a quail, but that's I'll hit a deer or hog square on.
Yep.
But it's a big thing because, you know, back when we had the soil bank, we had a lot of quail, and it's not because we switched, you know, to the CRP grass. It's just one of the factors. A lot of things have happened since you and I were in high school or just graduating. We didn't even have to have bird dogs back then.
Right. Well, it's understanding habitat and what's good for birds and multiple things is a small water cycle and keeping that residue there and keeping that thatch so you have moisture and condensation and
right.
insects, water. There, all that is very important for habitat. And as we got away from some of that we stopped some of that cycling and that seeds and different things they feed on. But they feed on a lot of little insects that we don't even see, chicks and whatnot. So it's understanding the whole ecosystem is more important.
Yeah, it's important. It's very important. I seen some grasshoppers hopping around out there yesterday while I was sowing. There was bigger than those baby quail. So
either you're gonna need some turkeys for them.
it was a good stuff. Well, so what's one of your favorite NRCS programs?
So you know it's hard to pick a favorite, but Equip's been awful good to us on the farm. There's lots of versatility in that and what we can look at. But you know, if the local office is really doing their job, they're going to look at all the resource concerns when you look at a problem and see how to address that problem and look at a bigger picture. And I think that's one thing that's really changed in the agency is used to, we went out to fix a problem that Jimmy Clark had on his farm, whether that be a water erosion or wind erosion or some specific problem, and we'd put a Band-Aid on that problem. Now we come out and really look at the whole resources around that and how you affect, if you fix that problem with the Band-Aid, what does that do to the other resources?
Right.
And so they look at a bigger plan now than they used to. I think that's really critical. So maybe it's fixing that problem, but upstream from that, how do we slow down water? How do we have habitat here? How do we do more planting up above that problem to lessen that impact down there? But how does that affect everything else? So that whole looking at the resources is very important. So that's what you really need to think about on your farm.
Right.
Is like, how do I get quail back? I've got more diversity in the system. Right. I'm doing a better job cycling my water, so I have some more insects. And by the way, when you look at a pest insect, there's about 11 to 1,200 beneficials that will consume that pest if you facilitate that habitat there.
Yeah, I've learned a lot And it's not for everybody. I wish it was, but I try not to preach about the regenerative farming, the cover crops and stuff like that. But I slowly see in the last 10 years, a lot of people are doing a little bit of it. Might not be doing all of it, but they're mm-hmm. doing a little bit of it, trial and error going on. And this winter, you know, I put Hairy Vetch in with my Truticale, and I've still got some along the edges I left on purpose. Mm-hmm. And the bees have came in along with the yellow jackets and the bumblebees. But, you know, you got to take a little bit of bad with some good. And most farmers understand how beneficial bees pollinators are to your farm. And I notice there's more and more programs coming out, not only with the NRCS, but with like the Oklahoma Conservation Commission, and even in Texas where they're wanting more and more pollinators. It's not just to save the monarch butterfly, but it's important. You go up into Idaho, or you go up into California or North Dakota, and you see these huge 300 acre plus alfalfa fields out there, and there's hundreds of beehives around there. There's a reason for it.
There is. And you know, you were talking about when we grew up, when you would come home at night, I mean, you almost had to wash the windshield before you could go anywhere the next morning because right. there's so many insects in the air. It's not that way anymore.
Nope.
And there's a reason for that. We've done a lot of targeted after a pest, and sometimes we kill everything when we're doing that, and that kind of starts affecting the ecosystem. So it's really understanding that, and it's a lot harder than it used to be. To think about everything we do. But that's one thing about NRCS. We have lots of programs to help with that. Pollinator Week is coming up, I think next week. Could be this week, but I think it's next week. That's very important to understand their role and how it can help or hurt our yields.
Somebody on the text line, obviously there was a bunch of people listening because I got Leedy lit up, all up down the deal. This question here, did Jimmy Emmons ever meet Dave Brandt?
Yeah, Dave Brandt was actually my mentor.
Yes, I knew that.
When I started, so I know Dave. I still talk to Jay and the grandsons. Chris has taken over the farm, was planting the other week, so I'm in a text group with them. So, yeah, I'm very connected.
Dave passed away, what, last year?
2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah. He was I knew he was your mentor, so that's why I asked that question live on there. And, yes, looks like Eddie from down around my way won the tickets, and he guessed your hometown, Leedy, America.
Yeah, that was a tough one, Jimmy.
Well, I didn't want to make them hard. We got to take one more break, and then we're going to come back and finish up. How's that?
All right.
All right, we're going to take a Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic right here in Elk City, Oklahoma, on South Main there, and we'll be right back after this.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boombacks, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
From the classroom to the field, Elk City High School students are igniting sparks of brilliance, fueling the fire of progress in every endeavor they pursue. Whether it's breaking records in the academics or dominating the field, these students are the driving force behind Elk City's dynamic spirit. GAS is fully committed to supporting and fostering the spirit of innovation, because in Elk City, it's not just about moving forward, it's about racing ahead. That's why we're...
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. 92. They come to you.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, June 16th. 750 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 535 brought 375. 10 at 658 brought 322. 12 at 741 brought 324. 139 at 868 brought 299. 68 at 902 brought 289. 54 at 921 brought 289.75. 3 head of heifers at 387 brought 400. 2 at 473 brought 360. 2 at 483 brought 365, 11 at 580 brought 346, 11 at 780 brought 288, 59 at 813 brought 281.75, 48 at 840 brought 270, butcher cows were 80 to 164, butcher bulls brought 162 to 208, bred cows were 1300 to 3425, pairs brought 2025 to 3425, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign, call Brennan Hickey, 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Hollis America, 87 degrees, feels like 93, the dew point 68, humidity's 50, the winds are out of the southeast at 18, the wind gusts up 23.60, 6/10 of an inch rain in the last 10 days, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 83, sunset, 854, 100 and breezy today, 69 and really breezy tonight, and 91 for a high tomorrow. I need to tell you about my morning. I got up this morning, I'm needing to spray some broadleaves on my peanuts.
Right.
And get up, too wet, got a dew.
Yeah.
The dew goes away and too windy. So I gathered the dogs up, got my big old hoe, and I went out there and started hoeing bull nettles.
Yep. Well, that's good for you, Jimmy. That'll make your golf swing better. Yeah, I guess.
Because my old buddy Gary Ripito, he bought me a real hoe, one of those big ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
it'll build your muscles.
Yeah, it'll build your muscles. And the dogs, they'd get in my way. I kept telling them to chop their heads off and get out of my way. Those bull nettles were full of potato bugs, every one of them. That caught me off guard. I mean, I've seen them on there, but they were just solid. I mean, potato bugs aren't going to hurt the peanuts, but they were just, just one of those deals. But, let's go back to technology and innovation.
Yeah, that's one of the chief's priorities. What is, how do we use innovation in new technologies like drones, and not for the agency? How can we use them in watersheds, and how do we help them look at your operation? When I was talking a while ago about resource concerns, you can take a drone up and look at your field or your pasture, your farm, in a matter of minutes, where it might take hours to walk or ride an ATV over it. And you can really get a better perspective. And so how do we start using more technology in the agency? And then assist farmers in understanding how that might could help them out on the farm. And once again, how do we track what you're doing out there so that it's beneficial for you in the future?
Right.
I think that's very, very important. So the chief is very in tune to, you know, how do we bring the agency further along with technology and innovation of them tools. And drones is just one example. There's hundreds. I've seen robotics up at Wichita running in between the rows to do that hoeing for you with a little disc mower to mow them weeds off. And so how do we start using more technology in the future, and how do we incentivize that for producers to help them use better tools? Yeah. I know you just got auto steer on your tractor.
All I wanted was a light bar. Now the thing's driving it for me.
Yeah, you're behind, Jimmy. Most people's had auto steer for quite a while. So.
It used to give me something to make fun of people. What movie did you watch today while you were planting? Me, I had to keep my hand on the steering wheel. That was my auto steer. Yeah. As I was telling you, though, last night, I haven't got my iPad in for my display yet on my auto steer system. And I drive along there, and I'm sowing, and I'm going over the top of a terrace. And I've only got two terraces on this land. It was on the field I was on last night. And my nephew calls. So I answer the phone, not thinking, kick my auto steer off, and I went hard left. Yeah. I dropped the phone and grabbed hold of the steering wheel because my no-till drill's in the ground. When that thing's in the ground, you start turning, something's going to give. Yeah. You're right, the technology. And, you know, I seen a YouTube video that I wanted to share with you talking about the NRCS. So you mentioned earlier about Iowa and Ohio, the topsoil they got up there. Well, they have a problem getting rid of their water in their ground. And so a lot of those people farmers put drain tiles up there. I watched a really cool deal, and NRCS, I believe, was involved with him on it. They went in there and they put all this drain tile in and drained it to the bar ditch to the county road, and it went down the county road and crossed underneath the bridge under the county road into a holding pond, which he used to irrigate another field that didn't have that drainage problem.
Yep.
So I think it's pretty cool.
It is. And it's once again, it's taking care of the resources where we used just to drain that to get it out of the way.
We didn't care where it went.
And so we've come a long ways in our tools and what we can use and really trying to help farmers and ranchers understand that resource and be responsible for it.
Well, I've heard bits and pieces on the not the perfect side, but on the good side, you got to be careful. You sign your rights away to your land. The NRCS can come in there and do this and do that if they want to and stuff. If you abide, I don't believe they would anyway, but if you comply with the program you're signed up with, you have no worries.
Yeah, it's a contract. And
it is.
All contracts have clauses in them and what that you have to withhold up to finish your contract, or they got to modify it or let you out of it. So it's just a binding contract. And that's the world we live in today. And you're not going to get any resources or incentives from a government
on your handshake.
On a handshake, whether it's from the government or from me and you.
Right.
It's all about paperwork and the binding contract. So as an agency, we're not there to take over land or take over operation of your farm. We're there just to make sure that we give you dollars to do a program that you complete that due to specs and what we require, and when we do that, then we'll pay you.
Right.
So
yeah, that's pretty simple.
It's pretty straightforward. It's like we've always done. It's just more formal.
We got about a minute and a half left. What's one of your goals in the next 3.5 years?
One of my goals is to help streamline the programs and get a load off their office workers where they can get out into the fields and the pastures and the kitchen table with our ranchers and farmers to sit down and talk about conservation. It's also that it'll be less paperwork for Jimmy when he goes into the office try to really make this a modern scenario so that everybody will be more happy. The workers won't be overloaded. The farmers won't be overloaded with so much paperwork. But that won't be a fast solution. It'll take us a little while to get there. But we are working on it, and it is a major focus, and I'm really excited about that. And then probably the main thing is for people to understand what you and I have been talking about is being in tune with their ecosystems and that biology out there, and understand soil and water and why we need to hold on to every drop.
Yeah, we need to hold on everything. Mr. Emmons, thank you so much for coming in. Yeah. And you're wearing one of my favorite hats, the Quartermaster Creek.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Swatcher and I'll be happy, shouldn't he?
Yeah, he should. I hope he's listening today. So, again, thank you again for coming in, and good luck in D.C.
I appreciate it, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
You drive a diesel truck up there?
I did not.
Okay. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Have a great day.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.